Kama, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. We're going to now just put some qualifications on what we said in the previous Mishnah. We're going to say, even though we said that when it said Shmiras and Alecha, the common denominator was when you're supposed to be just guarding it, as opposed to if you hand it over to a shepherd, for example. So sometimes you can even have handed it over to someone else to guard, whatever, that's still no good, you're still obligated. So it says, Kol Shechavti Bishmiraso. Anytime that I'm, Chavti here means like, I was negligent, I was poshea in my proper guarding. So in Hechsharti Es Nizko, I am the one responsible for setting up the damage. The case is talking about where, let's say, you covered a pit properly, or you muzzled your horse properly, whatever it is, if you muzzle horses, whatever, you muzzle your cow properly, and then, but instead of just, then the next thing is you give it over to be washed by a cheresh shotov akatan, either a cheresh, someone who's a deaf mute, doesn't know what you're telling him to do, maybe he won't get instructions because he can't hear what your instructions are, or a shota, a mentally incompetent person, or a katan, a child. All these kind of people, they're like wild cards, so what do you expect? You gave this, you said, you think to yourself, okay, I've muzzled my cow, do me a favor, I'm just going to shop, can you, Mr. Cheresh, Shota, or Katan, can you just watch my cow for 10 minutes while I'm going to the bank, I'll be back shortly. Like, anything could happen next. That's what it means, that it's Hechsharti Nizko. You set up trouble. If you left your cow tied to a chain, to the fence, nothing would have happened. But now that you've given it to a child or a shota or whatever, so then who knows what crazy stuff they'll get up to, and then they'll go and unmuzzle the cow, and then the cow will go and bite. You can't say, oh, how was I supposed to know? I left it, I guarded it, then I gave it someone to watch. No, you're responsible because you set up trouble by handing it over to someone who's incompetent. Made it worse than before. Now, Hechsharti ben miktas nizko, if you just did part of the setup of the thing to cause damage, but you're the second guy, then chavdi b'tashlum behechshar kol nizko, since you did it second, you're obligated for the whole thing. The case is, for example, a pit. So you have a, let's say, in the Torah's conception, if a pit is less than 10 tfachim deep, called a meter deep roughly, a yard deep, so then it's incapable of killing an animal. An animal falls in, you have to pay for it. But if the animal dies in the pit because of the impact of the fall or the, you know, poisonous gases lurking at the bottom of the pit, whatever it is, so then if it's more than 10 tfachim, you have to pay for the whole dead animal, the dead whatever that died in there. But if it's less than 10, then the rabbi said that isn't deep enough to kill an animal, and the animal obviously had like a heart condition or something, I don't know what, and when it died at the bottom of the pit, it wasn't because of the impact of a 9 tefach fall. So the case is where Mr. A went and dug a 9 tefach pit, which is now obviously a dangerous thing to have on the sidewalk, and people are going to fall inside, animals will fall inside. But if then I come and add one more tefach, all I did was add one little tefach, but yeah, but that was the tefach which changed it from being just a 9 tefach, you know, dangerous pit to a 10 tefach lethal pit. So if the animal comes and falls in and dies, me, who dug the last one tefach, is obligated for the whole death of the animal because I'm the one who made it to a killer pit before there wasn't a killer pit. So
the person who dug the 9 tefachs, if he left it there, no one came in to the tent, what would happen if something happened?
If an animal came and broke its ankle or whatever, he would be obligated to pay. But
if it's
totally putter.
You can walk away.
Walk away, yeah. Walk away. It's from the pasuk.
You're still a jerk.
Yeah, you're irresponsible, but it's a pasuk. You said, listen, that it didn't die because of me. Didn't die because of me, you know? I'll give you a weak analogy. If I bump into your car at 5 miles an hour, if I drive in someone's car and I hit them 5 miles an hour and you see the car has like a little bent fender and the driver in front is dead. So the answer is the guy was obviously about to have a heart attack and he wigged out because I don't know what, he was afraid of the insurance payments or he just freaked out because of whatever. But okay, you're right, I had an accident, I hit him at 5 miles, but I didn't kill him, something else killed him. I might have been the gore. I might have been like, you know, I might have ticked, you know, lit the fuse. That
the Western influence to me is making me like the chef in my chair.
All
these subjects about like the dog eating your steak in the park and everything. It's like, Torah is MS, and I'm full of Tuma influence, and it's like really clashing here more than any other place. And we've been to happy shops.
Really?
We've been to virtually every topic. Like, for some reason, this is making me shift more than anything.
So I think we discussed. I think the reason why is because the in rich welfare state, you know, societies of today,
we're victim societies.
Yeah, the society, governments, you know, legislation, policy, always, is seen always to protect people. Like, we're delicate people these days. So, like, you know, all public policy has to protect, you know, health and safety of people, and like make the standards of liability very high. So you have to be very careful with everything you do. But that creates like this victim mentality, which is bad news. But the Torah's attitude is the other round. It's like, listen, you just have to make sure that you're not negligent. Everything else that happened, like, and just go about your business. And everyone else should be responsible for watching out for themselves. So the Torah only holds you responsible to the extent that you were negligent. But you were negligent. If I wasn't, I might be a bad person, but, and like, maybe I'll get my just dessert up in heaven. But if I didn't do something directly to you, then I'm not going to have to pay for it down here. And I put this already before, the Torah doesn't seem to ever really care much. That's not a good way of putting it. The halacha doesn't take into consideration whether or not the victim's going to have to lose money or not. That's a non-issue. It seems to me, from all of like Bava Kama, that from the victim's side of things, he had it coming. From the mazik side of things, you have no right to be irresponsible, and you have to pay if you were responsible. But to the victim, we say, listen, Shem was running the show, and like, if you were meant to lose the money, so you did, and if you weren't, then we'll get it back. Whatever it is. But we're not worried about making you whole. We're worried about people being irresponsible paying for their irresponsibility. That's a very big disconnect. So a lot of times, when like, for example, you know, I was very bad, and I made a 9 tefachot. 9 tefachot is like big. Right? It's like fat. It's like a deep, 3 foot deep hole in the ground. Right? In the middle of a trail, a biking trail.
In the park.
Right. I left this massive pit. Okay. I'm an adult. I should know better. And you come and take your horse walking down the trail, and your horse falls in, for goodness sakes, 3 feet. Okay. That's major. That's a significant fall. And it falls down, and your cow, from the fall and the broken ankle and the pain, has gone to cardiac arrest and dies. Right, that's what they were saying. So then the Torah is saying, listen, that pit wouldn't have killed your horse. It wouldn't have. Your cow obviously was about to have a heart attack anyways. Whatever the story is, I don't have to pay at all.
What if a cow falls in and like hits its neck and breaks its
look,
neck?
Look, we even said more than that. We said if a person, what? We said a person should look where he's going. I'm not even going to pay for it if your horse, it was daytime, bright daylight, and your horse should look where it's going. And if it fell in the thing, I'm not going to pay at all. The case where I'll be hive is like where there's a trap door or late at night or something like that. Otherwise, I'm still not going to pay, even though I'm a bad guy. But like, the burden of self-preservation is on the nizuk. Look, tell your, even your cow is expected to, what kind of stupid cow, walks into a pit? Walk around the pit. What kind of horse runs into a hole? Walk around the hole. You have to have a reason why. He couldn't have known better.
He could have known better if it was 10 tefachim.
No, I mean, I'm moving away from 10 tefachim is everything. I'm just saying, but there's 2 points. But I'm saying, in terms of falling into a pit at all, you'd say, listen, you dug a hole in a path where horses go. That's asking for trouble. So my response would be, well, your horse is not retarded. If it's retarded, fine. But if it's not retarded, so then why is your horse walking to the holes for? Walk around the hole. Should look where it's going. I mean,
so then how come he's responsible for killing it if it's 10 fucking? He should walk around the hole.
Same thing, you're right. The case where he'd be responsible is where the horse couldn't reasonably expect it to look where it's going. Like I gave you examples. He covered with a trap door, or it was dark outside.
But
or
if it was like the middle of the day and it fell in 10 fucking and died, 10 fucking.
Yeah.
It's still be putter?
Yeah, because your cow's supposed to look where it's going.
I just thought if it was 10 fucking and it died, you are high.
Yeah, but you are high, but not if the cow could have navigated around it.
If it was at
reasonably
night, or if there was
you had a drunk cow
over the hole, like,
yeah,
like it's
exactly
a Burmese tiger.
You decided to feed your cow. You decided to feed your cow. You know, I don't know what beer that day. The cow was drunk, and so it fell in. Because then you're high because
you ate one of my special brownies.
Right, but you have to explain why the cow couldn't have been expected to walk around the pit.
Autopsies.
It's very difficult.
Major LSD and tainting of the blood.
So that's all that. Now, yeah, fine.
You know someone in America is going to do an autopsy on their cow. It's America.
So now the Mishnah has like, it's a new point here, really. The Mishnah says there are 5 criteria we're talking about hezek damage done to property. So there are 5 criteria here that are going to define what kind of property we're talking about. The first is it has to be nechasim she'ein ben me'ila. It has to be property that isn't subject to the laws of Me'ila. Me'ila is the rule of misappropriation of hekdesh, of based on hekdesh property. Meaning, if I make my sheep into a chatas, and then you go and irresponsibly have a cow that goes and gores my chatas sheep, he will not pay for it. He will not pay for it because the pasuk says, shor re'ehu, you have to pay for the damage of the cow of your rea, your friend, and the basically the property is not your friend. So it's exempt from the pasuk. Again, whatever goes up and upstairs in Hashem's world, and you know, is not topic for down here. But the basin will not force the guy to pay for the mazik, the damaging guy, to pay for the damage if what was damaged was subject to the rules of me'ila. It was hektish property. There's a question: well, why did it say hektish? Why does it say not subject to me'ila? The answer is sometimes there can be things that are hektish and yet not yet subject to me'ila. The prime example of that would be a shlamim, a korban shlamim, when still alive, the cow is dedicated to be a shlamim, a peace offering, and it's hektish already. It's hektish, but it doesn't have a din of me'ila to it until after it's been shechted and offered. So until then, it's still considered to be hektish, but not such me'ila. So that would be an example where you'd have to pay. Okay. Second criterion is nechasim shel b'nei bris. It has to be Jewish property. Re'ehu means your friend's cow, means your friend's property. So if the damage is done to a non-Jewish person's property, so then that is not going to be obligated here in terms of nezikin. Nechazim miyuchadim, that means it has to be privately owned property, as opposed to hefker. That can cut both ways. That means either A, if some cow attacks me, and then afterwards you go and acquire that. It was a hefker cow, it was a wild cow, feral cow, and then you go and acquire that cow, and you want one for yourself. So then I can't go to you and say, listen, that cow attacked me, and you have to pay me for it. No way. At the time it attacked me, it was a hefker cow, it wasn't a private cow. So that would be that. And go the other way also, meaning if my cow goes and attacks my cow which I own, attacks some like random goat, that's a feral goat, a wild billy goat, and then you go and acquire the goat, you can't then come and sue me for damages to your goat, because at the time that the goat was gored, whatever it was a hefker goat. So it has to be private property. Nechasim miyuchadim. That's what I said, sorry. V'chol makom chutz mirshus miyuchedes lemazik. This applies any place except if it's in the mazik's own domain. In other words, if you go into my backyard and then my cow gores you, I'm not chayim. What are we doing in my backyard? It's where I keep my cows. So I don't have to pay you if it happens in my property where my cow's meant to be. You went in, that's your fault. Okay? And rishus nizik v'mazik, and also it would be excluded if it was a shared place where me and you, we have a shared facility, we have whatever, we own a storage shed together, and then if I bring my cow in there and it goes and eats your tomatoes, so then I'll be putter because I'm allowed to be here with my cow, we share this area. The fact that you want to keep tomatoes here and I want to keep my cow here is soon that's allowed from our conditions, and then I don't have to pay for your tomatoes. You should have known better. I have a right to be here. There's a big difference, by the way, by Karen, if you come to my backyard and my dog bites you, you're an idiot. What are you doing in my backyard? You're not allowed to be here. Right? However, if it's our storage room together and my dog bites you or my cow gores you, whatever it is, or your cow, I do have to pay. Because, you know,
I ran over someone's family in my building. Not extremely responsible, to put it mildly, and their kids, until this event, used to leave their bikes just like in the middle of the parking lot, but it was like off the street into a private parking lot, and they ran over one that I was reversing, and they had a bike straight in the middle of the parking lot, and I ran it over.
Oh.
And we went to Rav Goldstein. Rav Goldstein doesn't do, like, will only answer a question if you agree on what happened. So he said, Adam Ulolam. I said, what about the fact that public property, that so it says, like, if you break someone's, you step on someone's pots and break them, so he said it's a chetra shutzeh.
Yeah.
So that wasn't Rosh Hashanah. I could be Rosh Hashanah, but
right. He's allowed to put his bike there.
He's allowed to put his bike in a Rosh Hashanah, but I wouldn't be responsible.
Right. No, you can't leave Rosh Hashanah.
A bike?
Well, you can't leave it there. I mean, fine, if you could leave it there, then you have a right to be there also.
I'm saying I could run it over on purpose and be Patrick because Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
It wasn't in a parking spot. It was in the middle of the driveway.
Right, right. If he,
I was rehearsing.
Yeah. Okay. Ukachehizik, when any of the damage happens, Chavamazik, the damage, the person responsible for the damage has to pay the Shalom Pashlumi Nezek with the full damages, the Meitav Arts, again, but if he's going to use property, he has to hit the best of his property. Why is it repeating a second time? To address also the issue of Karen. Karen. So you might have thought Karen is excluded. We haven't talked about Karen before. So here we say the damages have to pay, even if you're going to pay for Karen damages and you pay with property, you pay with the best of your property.